the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I belong to probably the last generation of Italians who learned French as foreign language at school and had very little exposure to English as a child. I did have English lessons in high school, but was taught it so poorly that I even developed a dislike for it at the time. So when I moved to Oxford in 1998 to start my doctoral studies, I barely spoke a word of it. Thankfully, the lovely School of English I attended the first 3 months after I arrived in the UK changed all this. The teachers encouraged us to learn the language like a child does. We were not allowed to use a dictionary, and we're told not to translate words from our native languages. Instead, we played games, learned songs, acted in plays, engaged in outdoor activities. The greatest temptation when you move to a new country is bond with people from your own home country. I knew Italians and Spanish, I have to say, people living in the UK who even after years still struggled with English because they used to spend all of that time with each other. So I decided to stay away from my fellow Italians and make friends with English people, which, given their proverbial reserved character, is a challenge even when you have achieved fluency. It was hard, but it worked, I think. The idea is that rather than by toiling on dictionaries and grammars, you learn by listening, by watching, by interacting with other people. It is what we call full immersion, full immersion. Now, I can say that more than the study of theology, it is this experience of full immersion that helps me to understand the meaning of the word sacramental, sacramental. Usually, when we say that the Eucharist is a sacrament, we refer to this very curious thing we do every Sunday here at Mass. Shortly, you will stand in a line, come to the front, and receive a little piece of bread and a sip of wine. And yet, as the priests hand them to you, they will not say to you, here is a little piece of bread, or here is a little sip of wine. Instead, you will hear them say, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And even if all you see with your eyes, feel with your hand, taste with your tongue is indeed bread and wine, you say amen. That is, yes, I do believe that what I am eating and drinking is the body and blood of Christ. Indeed, Jesus abides in us and we abide in him thanks to what we call taking communion. By receiving that which establishes a common union, communion, common union, a union with God in common with each other. From this viewpoint, the Eucharist is a sacrament because it is the means through which we establish this common union. For this reason, in theology, we talk about the Eucharist as a means of grace. Okay? Now, this approach to the Eucharist is not wrong, and yet it is a bit reductive, I think, and somehow utilitarian. If all it takes to be united to God is taking communion, what sense should we make of spending an hour and a half here on Sunday? Of the rest of the Eucharistic celebration, namely the gathering, the listening of the Word of God, the homily, the singing, the thanksgiving, the blessing, the sending? Are they purely ornamental and therefore somehow optional? Similarly, what sense should we make of Jesus' own request during the Last Supper to do this in memory of me? That is, again, not just taking communion, but reenacting a ceremonial meal of which the repetition of Jesus' words, the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup only are a part. So, in reality, what is sacramental is not just the consecrated bread and wine, but the whole celebration of the Eucharist. The listening of the Word of God, the homily, the singing, the thanksgiving, the blessing, the sending. All this is sacramental because it makes visible, strengthens, deepens what we become by receiving Christ. In other words, the sacrament is not just taking communion, but becoming a communion. That is, visible communion in life and in action. This difference might sound subtle, negligible, but it has the potential, I think, to change the way we understand our participation to the Sunday celebration of Mass. As long as we see the Sunday Mass simply as a means to something else, even as noble as taking communion, it will not be a big deal if we miss it now and again. If, however, we realize that the sacrament, that which unites us to God, is becoming a communion in life and in action, then we understand that something crucial is missing in our lives if we are not at Sunday Mass physically. If we do not experience it, if we do not engage our minds and our bodies in it, if we do not let ourselves to be shaped by this experience. What I said earlier about learning a language by full immersion might help us to flesh out this approach to sacramental life. We do not learn God's language on our own, with our Bibles at home, although this might help, but thanks to the full immersion of worship. Because in the end, worship too teaches us God's language through playing games, yes, learning songs, acting in plays, engaging in activities with our body, exactly as with the learning of a foreign language. A lot of what happens in the celebration of the Eucharist is scripted, like in a play. And just as in the case of a play, simply reading the script is not enough. The play will truly impact your emotions, maybe even your life, only when you assist to its performance in a theater, physically, in person. Similarly, something as simple as singing together fosters a sense of unity, a collective experience of joy, sorrow, and reverence that deepens emotional connections. Without us even being aware of it, the very synchronizing of rhythms, melodies, and breathing patterns involved in singing brings us into a cohesive whole. Singing together happens in all sorts of gatherings, of course, in sports, in politics, at a concert. In church, we sing God's mercy and love, His praise, our trust in Him, and are comforted and strengthened by this. Then this broader approach to the meaning of sacramental life helps us to appreciate the extent to which the Word of God, proclaimed and meditated in worship, also plays a decisive role. How is our faith awakened and nourished? How are our desire and hope sustained? How are we made aware of our need for God's mercy? How are we encouraged to care for each other, forgive those who have hurt us? It is thanks to the teaching, the warnings, the encouragement, the comfort we receive in Scripture, revealed in the prophets, the Psalms, the Gospels. Worship gives us such a familiarity with Scripture that it ends up shaping the way we think, we speak, and act in our lives. You see the motive. True, we can worship on our own without even going to church. But admitting that we find the time to do it in our busy daily lives, solitary worship tends to focus on our personal needs, on our individual relation to God. Instead, when we worship together, our horizon is broadened. We are taught to pray and care for each other, for our nation, for the world. Worship also expands the way we pray. Beyond the supplication for our needs, it teaches us the language of praise, of thanksgiving, of intercession, of blessing, of longing, of hope. Those who live in a foreign country long enough, those who have been immersed in it, those who have been shaped by its language and culture, become different people. When they go back to their home country, they bring with them a new energy, a new point of view, a larger perspective on life. In the same way, the sacramental experience of communion in life and action in the celebration of the Eucharist gradually makes us different people and changes the way we behave when we go back to our daily lives. Becoming fluent in the language of God means that we learn the power of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness. It makes us people who learn to rely not on themselves but on God's grace in every aspect of their lives. People who know the profound impact of each single act of kindness and care for others, however small. It is a language that sometimes we might find difficult, even hard. As the disciples with Jesus in today's gospel, when they say, "This language is difficult. Who can understand it? How can we learn it?" And yet, with Peter, we know the secret, the only secret to keep learning it. It is the full physical immersion of sacramental life. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? Only from you we can learn the language of God, because by remaining with you so far, we have experienced that indeed you alone are the Holy One of God." In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.